So we've been looking at the way that God wanted us to live and worship Him. And our question is, why does God want the Israelites to be set apart? And the reason is because people will see them and will say they're different. We want to be like them. And they were supposed to reach out and teach other people about their God, Yahweh. Which basically Yahweh means I am. That's just all there is to it. But He said, I am who I am. And it's like, I don't need a name. I'm just who I am. And I was before you were and anything else. So, this is in, we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 14, the first 21 verses. You are sons of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or make any bald spots on your head on behalf of the dead. For you are a holy people belonging to the Lord God. The God has chosen you to be His own possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. You must not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals you may eat. The ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has hooves that are divided in two and choose the cud. But among the ones that chew the cud or have divided hooves, you're not to eat these, the camel, the hare, and the hyrax. Though they chew the cubs, they do not have hooves. They're unclean for you. And the pig, though it has hooves, does not chew the cud. It's unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. You may eat anything from the water that has fins and scales. But you may not eat anything that does not have fins and scales. It's unclean for you. You may eat every clean bird. These are the ones you may eat. The eagle, you may not eat. The eagle, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, any kind of falcon, every kind of raven, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the long-eared owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the cormorant, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. All winged insects are unclean for you. They may not be eaten. But you may eat every clean flying critter. You are not to eat any carcass. You may give it to a temporary resident living within your gates, and he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. For you are holy people, belonging to the Lord your God. You must not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. And help us to understand the reasoning behind it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're in Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, Deutero means two, a second. It's a second telling of the law. You go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And this is all of the history and the stuff and the law and all the rules. Deuteronomy, they just got to the edge of the promised land and they're about to go in and take it. So Moses goes through all of it and reiterates it all to say, look, you need to understand what's going on here and you need to be ready to serve God and Him only. God wants the Israelites to be set apart, to be different from other people. The reason is because He doesn't like the other people. He actually told them, I want you to go in and I want you to wipe out the inhabitants of the land I've given you completely. Men, women, children, dogs, cats, all of it. Wipe them slick because they're evil. And I don't want their evil to permeate you Well, the Israelites didn't actually do that. We find out later on. He says, don't imitate the pagans. Now, this is where we get a lot of these things, and today we have different traditions and so on that I personally believe misinterpret some of the things that they were talking about. He says, draw them to the Lord so that they can apply to us, that the rules that they have apply to us today. We should not be acting like the non-Christians. We should be acting like Jesus told us to act. And we should be set apart. So, first of all, they have mourning rites. Somebody dies, what do you do? Well, the pagans would cut themselves. They'd cut themselves all up and they'd say, look how, you know, great and faithful we are. We're cutting ourselves all up and we're bleeding all over the place. And aren't we big and tough? He says, don't shave a memorial bald spot on your head in honor of these things. So often have people who will talk about, don't make any marks on your body. Now what these were, these were specifically pagan symbols. Now today we have people who go out and they get tattoos. In the Catholic Church, it is considered a sin to get a tattoo. Get a tattoo, you're right out. You can't come in. Many Christians outside the Catholic Church have an attitude that you should not have tattoos. I, of course, am a famous naysayer about things, and so my first question was, okay, if somebody has a tattoo, you're telling me I can't lead them to Jesus. Well, then what do we do about the tattoos? Somebody has tattoos and they come to Jesus, do they have to get rid of tattoos somehow? After that it's all cut out? Or what are you talking about? And
there's other people that interpret that those scriptures differently. To say,
right.
It did not mean tattoos, it means, you know, images that indicate that you're worshiping idols and other things.
Right, that's the whole point.
Whereas a tattoo is just usually a symbol of impairment.
So if you have images on your body, tattoos and stuff, that are for something away from God, if you go in and have it tattooed over, but, you know, many people have done this. They have gone in and had things that weren't good tattooed over, and with Christian symbols. And what a lot of people don't understand is, and I learned this from a guy when I was in Holly Orange Group, a skull and crossbones is actually a Christian symbol. Many of the early portraits that you would see would have Jesus on the cross, and right below Jesus would be a skull and crossbones. And the reason for this was because he was crucified at the place of the skull, which the Jewish people believe is where the skull of Adam was buried. May or may not have been, but that's why they called it that. And the crossed bones is, the bones are what was important. If you ever noticed in the Old Testament, they don't talk about people's bodies after they're dead. They talk about their bones, because that's what they do. They would go out and they would burn them so that all the thing was burned off, and they'd take their bones and put it into what they call an ossuary. And your bones to them were what was important. Well, Jesus, they can make a cross out of his bones. And so that's why skull and crossbones was actually a Christmas symbol. I didn't know that. But a lot of bikers have gotten a skull and crossbones and then thought, oh, this isn't good. And then when they try to get something done about it, some of the people who understand this tell them, no, that's not a bad symbol. You just have to understand what it's supposed to mean. But once again, the point was, you should not have on your body things that are celebrating other deities.
Yes, you can use it as food.
So that was more, the things are more tied to why you're doing it. If you're doing it in worship of a different deity or in order of celebration of another deity, then God says don't be doing that. But if a guy puts a tattoo of a cross because he's a Christian, it's like this guy Jelly Roll who got, you know, he was such a rounder, but now he has two crosses underneath his eyes because he had tattoos all over his face anyway. And so he was doing that to say, no, I'm a Christian now. Then it talks about clean and unclean foods. Now, why would God do this? Why would he have specific foods that are clean and ones that are not clean? Turns out, nowadays, we can go in, and if you go to a doctor or something and say, why should I not eat such and such? They will explain it to you, why you shouldn't eat it. We now have laws that if they have a red tide, you can't go get clams because it'll poison you. But you can still have the fish. And the reason behind this is very easy. Many people have different ideas why God did it. It's most probably hygienic. It is, you know, what's good for you and what's not. It may be pagan practices, because the pagans, some of the things that they would do is they would go and they would, like, kill an eagle and then, you know, rip out its heart and eat it. Because, oh, that makes me big and tough and all this kind of stuff. You have a lot of these different ritual things that are completely bogus. In the end, having a set kind of diet is a part of being set apart. So now what goes on with this? Well, first of all, as you read through this, you see that he has divided the foods or the things that you can eat into three categories: land animals, air animals, and water animals. He says, don't eat critters that eat other critters. Guess what? Mad cow disease came from cows that ate ground up cow. Well, as it turns out, critters that eat other critters, because of they're not human, they can get away with it. Cows, apparently, are like humans. If you eat something that eats other things, you can end up getting diseases from it. It says, don't eat things that eat dead things, like a vulture or something. And the reason is because now they're eating corrupted stuff that's probably got all kinds of... And they have natural immunity to this, because that's how they got to be that kind of a creature. Don't eat creatures that die of themselves. If someone died of themselves, it's probably sick. That's why that in the military, we have veterinarians. I always thought we had veterinarians because we had military dogs, because I was in military dogs. But it turns out it's not. You have veterinarians who go in, and the USDA has veterinarians that go in and inspect meat to find out if it's safe to eat. So you don't eat things that died of itself, because we know then that it was sick in the first place. And then we get the fun one. Meat cooked in milk. Don't eat a calf that was cooked in its mother's milk. And they go, what do you do with this? Well, okay, so that's where the Jews get to the point where they literally go to the point where they have two sets of dishes. One that can have dairy on it, and one that can have not. Cannot have dairy on it. If it's not dairy, then you can put meat on there and never dairy. The other one, you can put dairy on it, but never meat. That's not what it says. It says don't eat meat that was cooked in milk. Now, this is, once again, possibly tied to a pagan rite, where they would kill something and then cook it in milk, because milk is supposed to support life and not be used after death. It's about in milk, not milk or dairy on it. So cheeseburgers are okay. And the reason behind this is, if you cook raw meat in milk, the interaction between the meat and the milk causes poisonous substances. We know that. So you should not cook meat in milk, period. But if you cook the meat, and the meat is cooked, and it's done, and you put a slab of cheese on it, it's not going to hurt it. That's okay. And that's what God had said. Don't eat a calf that was cooked in its mother's milk. Don't eat meat cooked in milk. Well, doctor will tell you that too. So what does all this mean to us? Well, anything done to your body should glorify God, not somebody else. Jesus said, what goes in your body does not make you sick. Unclean. What comes out of your body, which is when you speak things and you say the wrong stuff. He even got very down and dirty about it. He says, if you eat something, it goes through your body and comes out your backside. Not a problem. What comes out of your mouth can lead somebody in the wrong direction.
We don't.
Okay. Or is this from the speech?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to be doing it again.
There's difference between meat, between cooking in milk and a cheeseburger. You can have cheeseburgers, don't worry about it. We've discovered that, obviously. But the main part of all this is you need to be set apart to God. One of the best ways that you can lead somebody to Jesus is when they watch you and decide, there's something about this person. I want to know what it is and how do I get it. And that allows you to witness to people. And so we have to set ourselves apart so that people know us. Now sometimes this is hard on us. I was on a submarine, the first submarine I was on, and I was the one and only Christian. There was a Protestant and a Catholic lay leader, as they called it. Neither one of them knew Jesus. I know this because I talked to them about it, and they had no idea how somebody went about being saved. The Christian guy was Catholic, and you don't get to be saved, the church saves you. No, that's not true. The Protestant lay leader was just there to play games, to get off watch on Sunday mornings. He didn't really believe anything. So I stood out because I was a real Christian. But they didn't want me to be the lay leader, because if I was, then I would be telling everybody to give their life to Christ. So I prayed very hard about this. And the week I left that boat, 5 Christians showed up. And while we were there, we had people come to Christ and immediately get transferred off the boat. So it left me alone. 5 Christians showed up and I left the boat. So I'm going, Lord, what are you doing to me? And I ended up on the river over here at Bangor on the most Christian crew on the canal over there. When we had Sunday morning lay services, they had to go to great lengths to decide who could come, because they would, if you just let everybody who wanted to come, it would almost clear out all the washes. And so all of a sudden, and it was like God was saying, okay, Walter, you lived through 3 years on Boston. Now, take your rest, bud. You're going to have some companionships and you're going to be okay. But I believe that for 3 years I was set apart and let people know. And those people who got saved and then left the boat did it. They always said, because they saw me and they wanted to know what's up with Walter. And it's like, you know, I'm not this great speaker and all this stuff, but just living, I could show them that I had something that they wanted. So we need to be set apart so that everybody knows that we are what they want to be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us and help us to be set apart for you, so that people see us and decide that they want what we have, and then we can lead them to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.